Kia ora and welcome to Emerson's Podcast, episode 285. Today is Wednesday, July 18, 2012. Well, today is better for a couple of different reasons, and I'll tell you about that today. And I also have a few other bits and pieces here along the way. But first, this is not the second podcast episode of this week. Oh, no, this is the first, because the first one I posted on Monday, my time, was the debut episode of Arthur and Paul Talk, which is, of course, a new podcast I'm doing with Paul. And that has been submitted to iTunes, when it will be available for subscribing to directly from there, I don't know. But in the meantime, if you go to arthurandpaultalk.com, you can get the subscription information. And of course, I will put the link to that in the show notes to this episode. But the subsequent episodes will be posted to that feed, and that's how you will get them. So you won't necessarily get one, two, or three different copies. And of course, I got three copies of it. So, oh, yes, well. So, yes, I will be providing more information about the iTunes thing, as I know. But in the meantime, go to the website and you can subscribe directly so that you won't miss any episodes. It also means that right now I'm not going over any of the comments that were left on my site about that, but you're welcome to continue to leave comments if you so wish. Or you can leave them over at the new site. Either way, it's up to you. It's entirely up to you. We're democratic in that way. Small d. Or big D. Take your pick. Today is a better day. It's now warmer. It was quite cold this morning. It was about 4 at 8:30, which is the first time I actually checked the thermometer. And that's not very pleasant. And it's also bright and sunny today, whereas yesterday morning it started out really quite rainy, sort of driving rain. Yesterday I also went to the latest Adobe Creative Suite Roadshow, as they call it, and I hated every minute of it, as I will no doubt elaborate on in my blog. But it... So the fact that I'm not there also makes today a better day as well. But some things have happened this week that have made this week a much better week. First of all, the plasterer came around on Monday, and he and his business partner had a look around at the various issues and are formulating solutions. And they've also noticed some things that nobody else has noticed. He did say that the advice that we were given about dealing with the front of the house around the garage, about cutting the plaster, raising up and extending the drain, and blah, 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 was all the same sort of stuff that they would have said if they'd been asked. So the advice wasn't so silly. It just, it happens that it wasn't the problem. And so he's going to liaise with the builder to come up with some permanent solutions to deal with it one way or another. I mean, if we do put the house back on the market, it won't be until spring anyway. So we've got some time to get it sorted. We just want to get moving in that direction because we would wait probably at least a couple of months before putting it back on the market after the repairs are all done. And the repairs won't be done soon, maybe in the next month or two, but not anytime soon. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. But that was a better thing because, as you know, that was weighing heavy on my mind, the fact that I hadn't been able to make connection with the plasterer, and things were sort of stalled in that regard. Also, of course, my fabulous new desk, which I'm still loving, apart from the fact I don't know where to put my mic long-term, left behind my old desk, which was that massive corner desk. It was 1,800 on each side. And I put it on Trade Me, which is New Zealand's auction website. It's kind of like eBay, only New Zealand. In fact, you can't buy or sell unless you have a New Zealand address. I think you have to have a New Zealand bank in order to be able to buy, if I remember correctly. At any rate, or maybe it's to sell. It might be to sell. At any rate, because generally speaking, people deposit the payment for their whatever they buy directly into your account. So I put it on last week. I've forgotten what day. And it's been a long time since I've sold anything on TradeMe, and I kind of forgot how to do it. And so I said 5 days. Well, that ended up being Sunday. And I actually wanted it to finish on Saturday because that would have meant it would basically be over by the time that Nigel's cousin came to stay because she was coming on Sunday. And so I thought, oh, well, it's not that big a drama. And it wasn't, except that after I put it on and for days afterwards, it stayed at $1 because I put a $1 reserve on it. And I thought, you know, I really don't care if I make any money on this desk. All I really want is for it to pay for the advertising fee and the success fee, which meant I needed to get about, oh, I don't know. I probably at minimum would have needed about $6 or something probably. And so it wasn't happening and wasn't happening. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to lose money on this deal. And then suddenly on Saturday, they started bidding it up so that by Sunday, it finally closed on Sunday at $51. And so once you take away the fees for the ad, because I did extra photos and other bits and pieces that added onto it, and the success fee was, it all added up to about $8 or so, $8.50 maybe. And so I made a little bit of money on it. Not obviously it didn't cover the cost of the desk in the first place, but the main point was that I wanted it to get out of the house. And you've probably heard that there are these people who have this solution, I guess, or strategy is a better word, for dealing with clutter, preventing clutter in your house. And that's that anytime something comes in, something of equal or greater size has to go out. So if you bring in a magazine, you throw away a magazine or put it in recycling, of course. And if you bring in a desk, you get rid of a desk. And so I've gotten rid of one of them so far. And the other one, which used to be Nigel's, is a bit more damaged. So I'm going to be taking it. I mean, I could actually work on it. I could fix it up. The edge, it's, again, you know, it's one of these laminate covered desktops, and the arms of his desk chair kept banging into it, so it's a bit chipped. And I think there's a mark on one of the other sides. And I could fix that up and make it presentable, and if not sell it, at least donate it to a charity shop or something. But instead, what I'm doing is donating it basically as is to a local school, and they're going to use it for to put their sound equipment on for their, you know, their productions and stuff. They put it on one of those trestle tables, you know, the collapsible tables, and it started sagging because they're only made of fiberboard. And this is a much more rigid top. Obviously, it originally had Nigel's mixer on it and his monitor and all kinds of other bits and pieces, computer things all over the place. So it's much stronger than what they're using. And being a desk means that whoever's operating the soundboard can sit there and do that. So that's good. I mean, this way we get rid of it. And it wasn't terribly expensive when we got it in the first place, but that'll get that out of the house too. And then there's a couple more big things in the garage I want to get rid of. And then it's onto a lot of the smaller things. So, you know, so far that's a fairly decent trend to have gotten rid of one thing. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel like we're making some progress and good to get it out of the house. So that is all very good and very positive. And it's also especially good that it ended up not costing me money to get rid of the desk, that I actually made a teeny little bit of money. So, yeah, that all made me feel really good. And yesterday wasn't as good a day, obviously, because the guy came and picked it up and paid me on Monday, so that was all sorted, because I went to this event. Now, I'm not going to go into any detail about the roadshow itself, because it's not very interesting to anybody who either doesn't go to those things or doesn't care about Adobe products and so on, but there's one aspect I did want to talk about, and that was the event was held at what's called the Viaduct Event Center, which is down in by Viaduct Harbor in Auckland. And Viaduct Harbor is now, it's a shishi little area. It's where the America's Cup bases were during when America's Cup was in Auckland. And it's been redeveloped a lot over the past 10 years. And on part of it, there are these luxury apartments and cafes and office towers, and not towers, it's misnomer, only about maybe 10 stories tall at most. But it's a mixed-use thing. It's really a nice area. A lot of the tech companies are headquartered in that area. And the part where the event center is more recently redeveloped. It was by the Team New Zealand America's Cup base. And I don't know what else was in that area originally, but it was originally a working dock. And it's been cleared and redeveloped, and there's some office towers going in nearby. But there were these large barn-like buildings that were built to house restaurants and cafes for the Rugby World Cup originally. And they're still there, and they're still operating. But they're huge. And so, and that's all that's in the area. During the lunch break, I went walking looking for somewhere where I could just get a sandwich or something. And all they had were these big barns and restaurant / cafe / bar. And one of them had one of the best names I've heard. It was called Urban Turban, and it was Indian food, but I didn't want Indian food. And a bunch of others I really wasn't in the mood for. Plus, they were big, enormous spaces, with nobody in them or one or two people in them, the sort of situation where there's more staff than there are people. And it felt very uncomfortable going in there by myself because I didn't know anybody at this roadshow, and I was by myself, and it really didn't feel like that. I just wanted to grab a sandwich, and I thought it'd be nice to sit outside in the sun and look at the harbor and stuff. Well, there's nowhere around to get one. Nowhere. Literally nowhere. And I walked around the area a little bit. I walked to the other side of the Viaduct Harbor down towards the Maritime Museum, for those who are familiar with Auckland at all. There's nothing there either. I could have walked further into the city, or I could have walked the other way towards Victoria Park and found something, probably. But by this time, the lunch break was almost over, and I almost left. I almost went home right then. I said, screw this, and went home because I wasn't having a good day anyway. But I didn't. I persevered. But that area, which I've since learned is called North Wharf. I don't know why, because there's no South Wharf. But anyway, it's called North Wharf. And it was, as I said, it was redeveloped. And they built these modern, these new buildings, and they dressed them to look like they were old shipping warehouses and sheds and things. And then they have these things from boats, or ships really, around in different parts of the area to give it sort of a nautical feel. And the whole thing struck me as a theme park version of what a working waterfront would look like, redeveloped, if that makes any sense. In other words, it seemed sterile, it seemed sanitized, it seemed artificial. And as I understand it, the area is going to be redeveloped again now that the Rugby World Cup is well and truly over. And there's a big, one of the main banks is building its new headquarters down there. And there are other office blocks being built as well. And I think that once there are more people around there in the daytime, that that'll change the character of it a lot. But I also hope that they take away all this naff, phony ship stuff, the theme park accoutrements. They have it's not exactly a visitor center, but kind of an information thing for that area. And it's made out of old shipping containers, which is cute, but it's a little too cute. And I don't know. It's just that the other parts of the Viaduct Harbor are more authentic. Yes, they're new, and they're mixed use, so there's a lot of different things going on. But at least it feels real. It doesn't pretend to be anything other than what it is. Whereas this whole area seemed to me that it was pretending to be something it wasn't. And the irony is that it was a working wharf. If they just stuck with what recreated what had been there at one stage, it would have been a much, much less phony place. So I'm actually planning on going back there eventually after the redevelopment is done, because that whole area is basically a construction site, and you can't judge it based on how it is now, because once all the construction is complete, it's going to be completely different in that area. But I'm definitely going to go back, and I want to go back on a warmer day and take photos in that area, because it's quite nice. But I couldn't do that yesterday. It was too windy. I was afraid the wind was going to blow the camera out of my hands. Yeah, well, I would worry about that sort of thing, I suppose. And sometimes a little too paranoid. I bent my sunglasses a bit so it would grip my head more tightly, because I was convinced they were going to blow off my face. But that didn't happen, by the way. But be that as it may. Now, I am not planning anything more on this particular episode. I don't have another topic that I'm going to pursue. I just wanted to update some of the things that I've been talking about lately. And But if I have a chance to do another Amarin's podcast this week, I'll have some sort of topic or other, possibly updating on news, because I haven't talked about that in ages. But at the very least, Jason and I just today recorded an episode of Too Political, which I hope to get edited and posted later today, or if not, then tomorrow. So that means that I will have been on three different podcasts this week, which is not a record exactly, but it's something of a record. Well, actually, it might be a record. I don't know that I've ever been on three different podcasts in one week before. I'd really have to go back and do research on that, and I really am not going to. But right now, I want to go over a written comment that I received for the previous Amarin's podcast episode 284, Warmer. And it was from Roger Green, who said, "The hero worship of the troops," in quote marks, "makes the Supreme Court ruling so infuriating to so many." It's in two parts, so I'll deal with it in two parts. First of all, thank you for the comment, Roger. And you're absolutely right. And if I may say so, whether I may or not, I'm going to, the hero worship of the troops that Americans frequently engage in often strikes many people, me in particular, as being a little bit way over the top, a little bit too worshipful, a little bit too, not sycophantic even, because that's almost too nice a word, a little too odd, that these are people who are doing their job and they should be applauded for doing the job that nobody else will do, and they should certainly be rewarded for their dedication and commitment, and they should not be forgotten after they return home from service. They should get their full medical care and their education, all the other things that they were promised, or the promise was implied. But to assume that every single soldier, for whatever, is always a hero, just strikes me as a bit unwise, because there are ex-soldiers who go and do terrible things. And then you have to say, oh, yes, well, he's an exception. Well, I just don't think people want to go in that direction. I think, personally, I think that the honor given to the troops ought to be commensurate with what they've done, not just with who they are. And I know that's not a popular opinion, especially in the U.S., but the idea that all soldiers are heroes simply by being a soldier is frankly a bit absurd to me, just like the idea that all firemen and all policemen are heroes just by virtue of the job that they do. They may do heroic things, and some of them may genuinely be heroes to anybody's reckoning. But the idea that somebody is a hero just because of what they do for a job seems a bit peculiar to me. But anyway, but as far as Roger's comment goes, I actually think that he's absolutely right, and that is the crux of the issue. That is why so many people were upset with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. And if you've forgotten what we're talking about, it's the ruling that people wearing military medals to which they're not entitled, it cannot be prosecuted as a crime because of free speech reasons or some bullshit like that. And as I said at the time, my opposition to that is nothing to do with the troops as such, although it does dishonor those who earned the medal legitimately, but more that it's somebody's committing fraud, and we don't allow fraud normally, and I don't understand why that fraud is allowed where other fraud isn't. I guess that's what it boils down to. So anyway, Roger goes on in his comment. Frankly, I've been less worried about governments using census records to have a pogrom in the U.S. because of our confidentiality laws. For instance, the post office helps census find addresses in the U.S., but census can't help the post office or the IRS or immigration identify addresses. And I think that's a really important point. First of all, that Americans need to remember that it's not they don't risk anything by answering the census. There's nothing that's going to happen to them because they do. But the other thing, and even if they're not worried about the government doing something, the information that is posted is kept confidential for a very long time. Roger can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm sure probably shout back at the device he listens on. But I'm pretty sure it's like 75 years or something that it's kept confidential. And depending on how old you were when the census was done, very often it's after you're gone before the information is released. In New Zealand, we also have privacy laws that make it impossible for some, or I should say illegal, for somebody to access the information. And there are prosecutions for, not for census stuff so much, but for other stuff. When there's a breach of privacy, they will be prosecuted for it. I'm not aware of any time, certainly in the years that I've lived in New Zealand, I've never, ever heard of any case where census data was illegally released, in confidential data. I've never heard of that happening. Now, it doesn't guarantee that it hasn't happened, but I doubt very much that it has because, well, first of all, the Kiwis, they're just not that interested in that sort of thing, you know, what their neighbors have answered or whatever. So there's other information that is freely available that, frankly, to me, is more of a concern. In New Zealand at the moment, anybody can find out who has a driver's license, who's registered to vote, and all those kinds of things. And that kind of information, which we don't tend to think about, is actually more of a concern. Most local governments in New Zealand put property information online so that anybody can look up information about a property. Whether the names of the owners are listed or not is optional. I believe the default is to have it not listed, and people have to ask to have it listed online. I mean, who would? But it's one of the little safeguards for information. It's trying to strike a balance between what the public does need to know information about a property, the taxes on it, the area, all that kind of stuff, if there's anything owing, and who specifically owns it. So it protects the privacy of the owner, but yet gives the information that, say, a prospective buyer would need to know. So that's all good. Of course, it is possible for somebody to get the information about a property if they need it. The specific, specifics about who owns it and so on. But it's a more complicated thing and it's not easily done and you can't do it directly over online. So there's a barrier there to that sort of information getting out accidentally. Now, my voice is getting all scratchy right now for some reason, so I'm going to pause here while I play a voicemail message.
Hey, it's Kyle in Hawaii. I listened to your most recent podcast, and it's like Christmas came early. I'm so excited to listen to the podcast with you and Paul. Arthur and Paul, it would be great to have the two of you back together again, chatting and lead downloadable on iTunes, fingers crossed. I have some ideas for possible show titles, and I'll probably email or Facebook them if I don't choke. But I love the show. Hope you are well with the chilly weather, and take care. Bye.
Well, thanks so much for that, Kyle, and for buying me some time to get a quick drink of water. I'm a little bit better, but still a bit funny in the throat, so I'm actually not going to continue much more. First of all, it's really great to hear from you. I was thinking just the other day, I was wondering how you were doing. I follow Kyle on Facebook, and so I sort of keep up with what he's doing and things, what he posts to Facebook. And he did actually post show names, which we took under consideration with many of the other fine suggestions. But except for Scotty in Australia, because his were just not acceptable. But seriously, what was I saying? I follow Kyle on Facebook, but haven't heard from him for one. Was wondering how he's doing because he's such a nice guy. And so it's good to hear again and have my phone line extended for 30 days. That's always a plus. Always. Yeah, my voice is getting a little scratchy here still. So I'm going to cut it short for today. And I actually do intend on trying to do one later this week. I succeeded last week. So who knows? I might this week as well. I don't know. It'll be a miracle. Maybe. Or maybe not. Have a great rest of the week. And if I don't talk to you, have a good weekend. But I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.
This is not the second podcast this week because the first one that I put out in my feed was a different podcast that was Arthur and Tall Pawks Talk. Oh, bloody hell. Arthur and Tall. Arthur and Paul Talk. Bloody hell. I'm going to start over.